Hi there, welcome to the Fit Mom Life to the Fullest podcast, where we focus on how we can improve our physical health so that we can enjoy the life God has called us to the absolute fullest. Hi ladies, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whenever you're listening to this. I am recording in the morning with a cup of coffee, and it's on brand for today's episode, so just bear with me, we'll get to that in a second. Welcome if you're here with me all the time, and welcome back if you're new here. I hope you're having a really good September. We're almost done with it. We're into fall now. We got real into it yesterday and made cinnamon scones. I don't want to make you hungry first thing when you listen to this. And don't, you know, message me for recipe, because I literally just used a regular old not healthy scone recipe. And you know what? I've been more into lately, like 3 years ago, Brittany made, probably just before starting this podcast, I was all about just all the healthy treats, the paleo this and the healthy that and the healthy that. I think mostly because I was coming up with recipes for them or finding them and tweaking them, making them my own, and then, you know, sharing them with all of you and stuff. And that's all great. And I still have some that I definitely rely on. Actually, we're going apple picking this weekend, and I'm definitely going to make that paleo apple crisp recipe that I have, because I prefer it to regular apple crisp. But it's interesting because 3 years ago, I would have basically just done that, like made all the healthy stuff, healthy-ish, I'm going to put in quotation marks, because usually an apple crisp is still an apple crisp. It has better quality ingredients. It might not leave you bloated and that kind of thing, but it's still a treat. And now it's funny, I also used to make them a lot more frequently. I had like one kid and a lot more time, and I would make us treats, like there was like a revolving treat in the house, so it was better that it was healthy. Whereas now I actually swing more toward making like the full fat, not always full sugar, you know what I mean? Like I like the sugar substitutions, like maple syrup and honey and lighter things, but better for you things. And I like the better quality flours, I guess. So I guess I still do adapt things, because even if I make like a quote unquote just regular recipe, I'm not usually using white all-purpose flour. I'm using einkorn or at least whole wheat or something if I have it in the house. But anyways, I find myself doing that more often, because we've really stuck to in our family like limiting treats to Sundays or then just special days, like feast days, like something else. So yesterday was a something else. It was a, you know, what day was it? A Thursday. And I just was like, it's going to be the first day of fall. I'm going to make some scones for the morning. So it's, you know, I'm also trying to, like we all are, I know we're all over the map listening to this. Some of you are more seasoned moms and you've had traditions in your house forever. But a lot of us are younger moms that like trying to establish our traditions. And that's been a big thing to me the last couple of years, is like, okay, Christmas mornings, we have coffee cake. And so now I've never done this before, but I'm like, maybe that's going to be a thing. Like first day of fall, you know, make cider and scones, or I probably am not making cider, but like putting out cider and scones for when they wake up or something, and trying to find little things to, you know, look forward to. Also, if they went to school, I feel like they'd have more of these kinds of random little pop-up things that you celebrate. And I don't know, I just feel like when I was teaching, there was like always something that they were celebrating and having treats for. So they're not getting that at school, so I can at least, you know, be all right with that. But yeah, I've just been leaning a little more towards, I'm going to make close to the quote unquote real thing of what it is, but we eat treats way less frequently. So interesting. I think I just started liking regular baking and stuff a little more than healthy baking. But again, it's still a balance. I'll do my, you know, paleo apple crisp when we go this weekend. And some things I just prefer. I've shared that too. I actually prefer the almond flour chocolate chip cookies to regular chocolate chip cookies, or actually the einkorn ones are super good. So anyway, I wake up and first thing in the morning, I just start talking about food nonstop. I hope you're having a great fall and a great rest of September. So today's topic, simple thing that you can do to just improve your overall health, lose fat, etc., improve your longevity, all of these things, comes down to one simple little hack or tip, piece of advice, whatever you want to take it as. And some of you, not to build it up more, but some of you are totally already on board with this. So this is just kind of going to be like an episode of validation for you of like, okay, yes, this is why I do it. Some of you might do it some of the time and are struggling to do this like full force, whole hog, whatever phrase you want to use. And some of you are like, nope, that's not for me. and I can still be healthy without it. And this episode's more for the second and third groups to try to, I don't really try to convince anybody of anything. I'm not trying to convince anybody of anything, but to maybe point out some things to you that might open your mind a little bit to why this could affect your health. Because I think sometimes this is swept under the rug of like, nope, that's just not my personality. So I'm not going to do that and I'll still be healthy. Okay. Without further ado, what we're going to, the thing that's going to make you healthier is getting up earlier and going to bed earlier. And I know right now you want to turn off the podcast and say, Brittany, you're not my mom. Don't tell me to go to bed earlier and wake up earlier. Because it is a parent thing too. Like, you're an adult and you can get up and go to bed whenever you want to. If you're newer around here, maybe you haven't heard me talk before about how essential your mornings are to your health, to your day, to literally the shape of your life, because your days are what comprise your life, right? I talk a lot about just winning the day, just looking at that day, which is backed by successful entrepreneurs and business people. It's backed by the Bible, which tells you, you know, sufficient for today's its own struggles. You know, don't worry about all these other days. Like, essentially just win the day. My grace is sufficient for you in this day. So many things point to it's about one day at a time. Well, what sets the tone for the day is how we start the day, how we wake up. But more than that, so if you're looking at just, okay, the morning, and I've read, and this is a part where it's going to be redundant for if you've listened to me for a while, I've read a plethora of books about how successful people use their mornings and or just use their time. And yes, success is defined in many different terms, but a lot of these people are in the business world, but also have great family lives and also are practicing a religion. And also, like, they would say they're pretty happy in every category. I'm not talking about people that are like workaholics that only care about financial success. It's not that. That's not what I'm after. That's, you know, I don't think what you're after either. But people who are, you know, seeming to use their time well and feel balanced, which is, you know, something a lot of us struggle with all the time, where we just feel frazzled and like there's never enough time, like we're never getting to everything. Our house is not clean. We're not working out. We don't feel like we spend enough time with our kids. So what are we using our time doing? That's a whole nother, you know, topic, the actual time management part. But I'm interested about this, and I've done so much research and so much reading about this because I do want to steward my time well, and I do want to implement the best systems I can for my family and know that, like, yes, things happen and we can't always stick to them. But in general, it helps me to have a life of order and a house of order, and our God is a God of order. So I think he's okay with that. Again, as long as I don't make it an idol of like, no, I can't help that person because this is our schedule and we stick to this. Obviously, that is not what it's meant for. So I've read what most successful people do in the mornings, The Power of Habit. A lot of books like that promote mornings. And there's many other, I've read a lot of them throughout the years. What successful women do with their time or something. There was one specifically about women. Laura Vanderkamp, I think, is the author. So you could look up what that one is. But everything points to use your mornings well. And then, the Miracle Morning, Hale Elrod. But in Hale Elrod's book goes into like what a really long morning routine would look like that sets you up for the day, and includes like the meditating and the moving your body and a lot of things I agree with, but it's like, wow, that's way too long. And then he boils it down to, okay, you only have 5 minutes. Here's how to do a 5 minute version of the Miracle Morning. So before, again, you want to turn me off and be like, Brittany, I'm not like, I don't care about mornings. I've told you this before. I don't work out in the mornings. I'm not saying working out. I'm not saying getting up at 4:30. I am saying how you start your day sets the tone for the rest of your day. What you take in your subconscious affects the rest of your day. If the first thing you do is roll over, flip through social real quick, and see a bunch of things that you just invited that into your mind and into your home for the day, instead of filling yourself with scripture or talking to God, you know, just yourself first, praying or meditating on the rosary, like we're starting from a place of like anxiety and panic sometimes, especially how crazy the world is right now. Like, who knows what you're going to see when you flip through. And that is the first thing you're seeing and is affecting you. So we also, you know, need to be more, need to always be diligent. I'm not going to say more diligent because maybe you're very diligent about it. But we need to be diligent about what we're allowing into our minds anyways. But the bigger thing, so yes, you want to use your morning spell, and maybe that's just doing the 5-minute morning. You can look that up. I honestly, I think got that book. I think I borrowed it free on Kindle, or maybe I bought it on Kindle. And then I know he has like worksheets of how to just do the 5-minute miracle morning. It's essentially, I remember a lot of things. I think I've shared it on the podcast before. I don't remember them all by heart now, but I've kind of adapted my own that I know what I go through, which is what I've talked about on here before. Like there's prayer in there, there's movement in there, there's drinking water in there, and like the stuff that starts your body and mind in a good spot to start the day. And it's very streamlined. Like I'm typically, like right now, recording a podcast in the morning or training a client on Zoom in the morning again. I hadn't been doing that until now that the baby actually sleeps, I would say through the night, but he still gets up once. So anyways, I still have things in the morning before the kids wake up. So it's not a 3-hour endeavor. It's very streamlined. But anyways, mornings are important, and mornings that can do a lot for setting up for mental and physical success, whether, again, you work out or not. I just talked about in the podcast, like including and incorporating more movement into your day, and starting out with movement helps prompt movement later. But here's the bigger thing that I want you to think about for mental and physical health. What you are doing when you stay up late at night is not going to be the same thing you are doing if you get up early in the morning. What tends to happen is we tend to, kids go to bed, and maybe they're in bed or not, because some of you have older kids who are probably up with you. So that even might, I haven't been down that road yet, but that might even turn into you're staying up later to still be up later than your kids, and maybe you're like pushing everything back. Because I know right now in our season, it's like they go to bed, and then we feel this like exhale, we get like an hour, because we go to bed early, maybe an hour to have like quote unquote to ourselves or with each other before we go to bed. And I could see how in the future, if like they're staying up an hour later, then that gets an hour later for us, an hour later. And I've heard that frustration from some of you before who I've trained who have said like, Brittany, I just want to stay up with my husband though. And then I'm like way too tired to wake up and work out. And I would just encourage you, definitely take whatever I'm talking about today. And like you have to make it your own, and you have to talk to your husband about it and work it out how you guys need to, because we've been all over the map. Like when we first got married, Ben was taking night classes at college and I was working full-time as a teacher, and I would wake up and teach a 5:15 a.m. spin class 3 days a week before I went to teach all day. And then I personal trained all night, basically until like 9 p.m. or whatever. And I was pregnant because I got pregnant like a month after we got married. So I was staying up till he would get home from night class, so that we could like eat dinner together at 9:30 at night and like have some time together. And then I would go to bed, and this is before kids, and then I'd go to bed and like, you know, also, you know, in my youth, just I was so well rested going from years of not having kids, but and get up super early, da-da-da. So that was not a great schedule, and he didn't have to get up that early. Like he was not getting up at 4:30, so we weren't synced up. And then later he was, I forget the period when he was like staying up later than me. I guess that must have just been it. I know like one night a week he was working another side job that was like kept him out to like 11. It was very funny, like promoting campus housing somewhere. Not camp, it was like off campus housing. So he had to like go to events and set up like booths and stuff, whatever. So he would be up till like 11, and then I'd still be getting up at like 4:30. So sometimes I would just go to bed. It was a whole thing, but we were trying to sync up our schedules, and it was a struggle for a while. And then like this always changes a little bit when we have a baby, because I feel like when you have a newborn, you just naturally stay up a little bit later to like not have to do that 11 like p.m. wake up. You just kind of want to hit it and then go to bed. That we end up doing that anyways. So even with our third right now, Judah, that was kind of the case. But right now what we've kind of done and talked about is like, okay, we ideally would like to go to bed at the same time. We don't want to be the people that go to bed separately. And that's whatever you're doing is fine. I'm just sharing what we do. So we had to talk about what that looks like for both of us getting up early. And I was actually, this was not working for my season. I was in a season of, I was finding it easier to work at night so that in the morning I don't get interrupted by the kids if somebody happens to get up earlier or something like that. So I was preferring to work from like 8 to 10 p.m. But then he would be staying up with me, and then we'd be going to bed, you know, after that. And then he'd be getting up at 4:30, 5. And he was starting to really kind of burn the candle at both ends, where then I would be sleeping in a little bit more in the mornings. So roles were totally reversed from when we were first married. So what we're currently doing is, again, we get that like hour after the kids go to bed, and then we get up together in the mornings and have decided to pray together in the morning, which we've never done before. I think I've talked about this before on the podcast. Anyway, it's newer. We've only been doing it for like 2 weeks, and we've not hit every single day. There was like one day I overslept and he didn't wake me up. And then one day was just an odd day because he went in later because he had a dentist appointment. We just forgot. Even though we were together, we just forgot because it was a different schedule. So anyways, that's been our new thing, is like we stay up an hour later than the kids. We go to bed. We wake up early, like between 4:30 and 5 is our start time. It is usually 4:30 for me because then I get a couple hours in before the kids. But we pray together. He goes to work and then I get on with the rest of my work and day and stuff. Hence, like right now, recording podcast. But here's the thing. If you are thinking, like, Brittany, it's the same thing. I'm either going to be up earlier or I'm up later and then I sleep in more. It's not the same thing for your health and wellness typically, unless you are a very disciplined person. Because even when I was staying up later to work, and then you're thinking, see, Brittany, you were working at night or you were working in the morning. When I was staying up later to work, I would often throw on a show in the background. Well, I'm already up. I might as well throw on a show. I would feel like I wanted to pour a drink, or definitely like I wanted to get a snack because I was still awake, and it'd be like, okay, I'll just grab some chips and salsa and sit down and work. Or I didn't really flip through my phone because I just was working, and that was, you know, I can only do so many things at once. I can have, you know, a show on in the background while I am sending an email out for you guys, scheduling it for the email list, but I can't apparently text and whatnot too. But here's my point. Most clients, that's what I will see. And most, you know, people in general, it's true. We do things at night. We wouldn't do at 4:30 in the morning. When I wake up at 4:30 in the morning, I'm not putting on a show and having processed foods and like wanting to pour a drink. It's just a different vibe. And it's like a different, your intentions are different. And I think when we stay up later, it's more like, oh, I want to like, we turn to comfort. I want to relax. I want to, you know, turn to pleasurable things. Where in the morning, we're not looking for that. We're waking up and hopefully then like diving into our, whatever our productivity for the day is. We are not looking for, again, the comfort, the pleasures and things like that. And so think about that too, because what you're doing at night tends to be more passive, tends to be more, I'm drained. And I'm speaking like, as always, I'm raising my hand over here like this is me too. If it gets to 9 p.m., I'm not usually doing something that's going to actually fill me up or bring me rest and relaxation. It's just passive things that I think will help. Like say I wasn't staying up to work. I just wanted to quote unquote like stay up to have me time. I'm probably going to head to the freezer, see if we have ice cream or find something I can snack on. I'm going to put on a show. And then while the show's on, I'm going to flip through my phone and look through Instagram and Facebook and see what's going on. And I'll do that for like an hour before I even notice it was an hour. And I'm just filling my mind with nothing substantial, zoning out and probably, you know, fueling mental health struggles of it's going to result in me feeling anxious or feeling maybe depressed from maybe I'm comparing being on social the whole time, or maybe it's just like, you know, I have noticed so much. I've told my husband too, like my ability to focus has so gone down in the last couple of years. And I don't know if part of it is having three kids and being like interrupted constantly, where it's like, okay, you're trying to do something and then boom, you got to do that. Or like everything's so immediate, you know, someone's like the one-year-old's about to jump off the couch and you're like, got to put the dishes down and run. But I feel like I cannot finish a task. And like my brain always has a million tabs open. And I think that social media has been a really big part of this. And I have not at all. I know it has been. And you can go down that whole, oh my goodness, I've been mentioning this lately because it's been on my mind, rabbit hole of, you know, the science of social media and what it's really doing and what it's turning us into. And a lot of it's purposefully. And that's a whole nother thing. But think about just how short our attention span is. We flip. We can't even like look at something and read a whole post anymore. Now it all pops up at us. We've got the reels. We're on stories and you can watch it for like a second and you just tap, tap, tap and you flip on to the next thing if it's not that interesting. And it's that affects us, and that affects everything else we're doing, our abilities to have conversation and focus on a task and whatnot. So truly think about that. If you have been a person who's like, no, Brittany, because it's the same thing. If I do my workout at night and I stay up later or I get up earlier, I'm still getting it all done. I'm still maybe even getting the same amount of sleep. I just urge you to look at what your actual actions are and your behaviors are, because here's the thing, without trying to really modify your diet, which by diet, I mean what you're literally eating, without really trying to even change what nutrition you are taking in currently, without adding or subtracting any workouts, without like adding another quote unquote health thing, if you simply just started going to bed earlier and waking up earlier, and I would suggest to tactically try this, to do it slowly. Don't go from going to bed at 11 and waking up at 6 or 7 to like going to bed at 9. Like back it up slowly. Back it up to 10:30 and then 10 or whatever so your body adjusts. And I will say there are just going to be some days where you have to bite the bullet and be tired for the day, because I've had clients try to do this and they're like, well, Brittany, I just keep oversleeping my alarm. So when I stay up because I don't want to, you know, I can't go to bed early because I don't fall asleep. Right, you're going to have to just wake up early first because your body's really used to the routine you're in now, and you're just going to have some tired days. Like when we've been in those seasons and then transitioned back to early mornings, it was like, oh man, this was a night I just laid in bed awake till 11, but now I just have to force myself to get up at 5 or I'm going to be stuck in this cycle. You also have to kind of like break the cycle at some point. But again, I would suggest doing it incrementally if you can, to start waking up a little bit earlier, so you start going to bed a little bit earlier, like you would do with kids and time changes and bedtimes and whatever. But that simple thing, just by doing that, if you're normally going to bed at 11 and eventually you're able to pack it up and you go to bed at 9 or whatever and wake up at 4 or 5, you could cut out calories just from that, because you're losing hours of snacking because you're just not awake and you're not going to do it in the morning. You know, you might think like, well, I'll still be just as hungry. I'm up for the same amount of hours. You might be, but you're also going to look to more nutritious food. When I'm up at 4:30, you know, often I don't eat right away, but if I do, a lot of times I'll do like a coffee with a protein bar to just have protein right away with my coffee because I don't like to get jittery. Then I have my real breakfast like a couple hours later, usually around 9, I'll do a shake that's all rounded out with carbs, fat, and protein. So I'm not having a protein bar and calling it breakfast. Ladies, don't hear that. But if I was staying up from 9 to 11 instead of being up from 4 a.m. to 6 a.m., I wouldn't be reaching for a protein bar at 9 p.m. Like I just wouldn't. That would not be the thing that I was thinking about. And I'm not saying protein bars are the healthiest thing in the world. They are processed food as well. But I do care about the quality of them and try to get, you know, as minimally processed and clean ingredients as I can. But it's just not the same thing. I would not be doing the same thing. And I want you to just think about that, reflect on that for yourself of like, okay, I get too that a lot of you, if you're like creative people, that you paint or what else could we do that's creative? Like, I don't know, write songs or sing or play musical instruments. I feel like a lot of times creative minds tend to be more late people. And I also think that's fine. If you are truly using that time well and getting that rest and relaxation, and you know, it's a good thing that you are doing, then you know, that's cool and you have a lot of self-control in the other areas. However, I know for the majority of us, unless we are purposely doing something that we, you know, had planned or enjoy or it's our hobby, usually we're defaulting to the passive things, which result in things that are not good for our mental health, like too much screens, whether it's our phones or it's shows or whatever, and or we are usually turning to processed food. And then it's, and being sedentary, you know, in the morning too, like you're probably going to be bustling around more and making more use of that time than you would at night where you're just parked on the couch potentially or parked in bed watching TV or whatever it is. And I know like there's always caveats to this and you have to make it your own. Right now it's also football season and we love football season. So we're staying up just a tiny bit later than normal. But in general, like we've approached that because we said we were in a really good groove and then football season came around. We're like, oh no, we're going to want to stay up Sunday, Monday, Thursday. But we have for us right now, what works well is to just stay up till halftime. We watch the first half. If we're really tired, watch just the first quarter, but we'll watch the first half. And the only exception to that was when the Bills were playing on Monday night. And we did just stay up late. And we did just have a tired day on Tuesday because, like I talked about a couple, maybe last podcast or a couple podcasts ago, I talked about how sometimes you have to like pick what you're going to sacrifice. And guess what? That day I was like, we're going to sacrifice sleep and we are going to watch this. So just wanted to talk about that a little bit today. Please really just read a book on mornings and what successful people do in the mornings, or look up your own research about all the data is there. Like some people, right, there are always outliers to this. Some people prefer to wake up earlier and stay up later and are very healthy and very mentally healthy and are like the exceptions to this. But by and large, the data is showing that if you get up earlier and go to bed earlier, you're typically going to be an overall healthier person. So that's, you know, what we're after within reason, not like trying to strive for ultimate health or then saying like, okay, I can't hang out, meet a friend out because it's going to mess up my sleep routine. There are total exceptions and times where it's okay and you're in control of your life to be like, no, I'm going to meet that friend out for dinner and I'll just sacrifice a little tomorrow. Tomorrow I'm going to be a little tired. And that is fine, but we don't want to be running on that all the time, okay? It's what we do most of the time that matters more than what we do some of the time. All right, I would love to hear from you. As always, if you have questions or anything that you, or ideas for future podcast episodes, ladies, that's where I get them, is from you. So you can shoot me an email at fitmomlifetothefullest@gmail.com. You can come hang out on Instagram and follow me at fitmomlifetothefullest. There's going to be some really exciting things coming up in the next couple months. We are in our challenges right now. I am actually full, booked full of one-on-one clients right now. You can always, if you're interested in one-on-one training, there's details on the website about it, but you can email me and I can put you on a wait list, which is great. I mean, I typically, the typical client works with me for 6 months. I sell it in 3 month packages, but it's usually but some clients go for a year or longer and some do a 3 month package and get what they need and move on. So it is turning over, you know, at least every couple of months. So it's always cool to at least put yourself on the wait list if you're thinking about that. But we'll have holiday programs coming up. We will have some other exciting things in the works. I'll let you know more about it as it's more finalized. But yeah, I'm thankful for you all. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing your thoughts and feedback with me. And I hope you have a great rest of your day. I'll talk to you next time.